This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. As we studied last week, there was a pact made between David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul, and yet he had this tremendous mutual love for David, as David loved Jonathan. Saul was jealous of David and was trying to kill him. And David is sharing with Jonathan his enigma. And in verse 3 there of 1 Samuel, he declares unto Jonathan, "Your father certainly knows that I have found grace in your eyes." And thus he says, "Don't let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." David had just had a very close encounter with death. He had been playing the harp for Saul, who was ill-tempered. And he was seeking to soothe Saul with the harp. But probably out of the corner of his eye, in the peripheral vision, he saw a movement over in Saul's direction. And looking quickly, he saw the javelin that had been hurtled towards him. And David dodged, and the javelin stuck in the wall. And David got out of there and ran to Samuel in Ramah. And Saul was pursuing him. David had had such a close encounter with death, and he realized that Saul was intending to kill him. And thus he said to Jonathan, "There's only a step between me and death." He had that realization that his life could be taken at any time. Man, for the most part, is not aware of how close death hovers to each of us. Somehow man has a feeling of immortality. I never think about death happening to me. I think, death is something I read about in the paper. It's something that happens to other people. But I never really sit down and think, "Oh, I'm going to die. I have a feeling, well, I'm going to live forever, I'm immortal. We have that sort of consciousness, and it's probably good in a way. Lest we, go around always in a morbid state. I know that a lot of people don't like to even talk about death, and it could be that this is your first Sunday in a long time, and you think, "Oh, of all the Sundays to pick, he talks on death." But realistically, it is a subject that we should address. But I'll make you a deal. You quit dying, and I'll quit talking about it. But you see, I do know that should the Lord tarry, one day I'm going to die. Though I don't think about it, and it's not something that I'm constantly, fretting over. But occasionally, death will hit someone that is close to me. A relative. A good friend. And all of a sudden, I begin to think about death again. I think, "My, that could have been me. Or he's younger than I am. Wow," and when you realize that death can strike anybody at any time, you realize that there is only a step between you and death. Kay and I were over in England in the area of Keswick, and we just had lunch in one of the little country restaurants out on one of the highways, two-lane country road. And as we came out of the restaurant, preparing to cross the street to the parking lot where our car was parked, Kate looked to the left, didn't see any car coming, and stepped out into the highway. I looked to the right, and I saw this car coming fast, bearing down on her, and she was walking right out into the path of it. And as in your mind, quickly, there is the computation, the speed of the car, and Kay's position, you know, I really, in my heart, thought, you know, this is it. Kay's had it. And I called out, "Kay!" And there was such desperation in my voice that she just froze. And that car brushed right past her. You see, in England, you've got to be careful, because here, we always look to the left first, then we look to the right. But they drive backwards over there on the wrong side of the road. And you've got to look to the right first and then look to the left. And where you're in such a habit, you know, of looking first to the left and stepping out, it's very easy to get confused. And I realized there's only a step between life and death. Just one step away. One more step. And Kay wouldn't be here this morning. David realized how close a call he had. Had I just moved the other direction, you know, I'd have been nailed to the wall with that javelin. And he began to realize how close death hovers. And he said to Jonathan, "The Lord knows, and I know. I'm just a step away from death." Sometimes we have close calls. And suddenly again we begin to be aware of just how close we are to death. Maybe you're driving in the car, and you see another car coming towards you. And you think, they're going to hit. There's no way to escape. And you just sort of close your eyes and twist and hit the brakes. And you wait for the crash. And it doesn't happen. And you look and you don't know how they missed you, but they did miss you. You for the life of you, could never tell how. But I'll tell you, your heart is beating a mile a minute and you're starting to shake and you get the sweats and you just sort of pull off the side of the road and you just sit there and shake for a while like, wow, that was close. Just a matter of inches or just a matter of seconds. Another 2 seconds. Another 3 inches. And you realize that life hangs on a very fragile thread, that death hovers around us, and that any time, no matter how healthy, how strong I may be, there's just a step between me and death. Realizing that death is inevitable, and that it is so close, how should I live? I should first of all live not for this life only. Many people make that mistake. All they live for is today, this temporal world. And all of their values and all of their treasures are in temporal things. Jesus told the story of a man who had been very prosperous, who had excellent years of bumper crops. And he said to himself, "My soul, take your ease. I'm rich. I have need of nothing. My only problem, I don't know what to do with all that I have. I don't have enough room to store up all of my wealth. I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger barns so that I can bestow all of my goods in them." And Jesus said, God said to that man, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then who's going to spend all of your wealth that you have amassed? Living for this life only." God said, "You're a fool. Not taking eternity into account." God said, "You're a fool." We should keep the books as clean as possible. There are some people I've been intending to call just to let them know how much I appreciate them, how much I thank God for bringing them across my path. It would be a shame if death should strike them before I get to make that call. There are those that our last time when we met together was not that pleasant. It was a little strained. I said things I really didn't mean, or I showed an attitude that was less than loving. The thing that created the division was really nothing, and it is nothing now, and I intend to call and to make things right. It would be a tragedy if death should strike before I can make that call. There have been cases, and my heart grieves, of people that I wanted to get together with them. I wanted to share some things in my heart. I wanted to just share how much I did appreciate them and all. And unfortunately, I got a call and said, "Do you know who died last night?" I said, "Oh, no. I can't believe it." And those things that I wanted to do remained undone. So I should live knowing that there's just a step between death and me. I should live with the books up to date as much as possible, not have any of these kind of unpaid debts, feelings of hurt or whatever. I should clear the books as much as possible. And I should live in constant preparedness for eternity, because I don't know when I'm going to take that step and I'm going to enter into eternity. And thus I need to live in readiness. Now, if I live in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, I will never take that step between me and death. It'll never happen. One day, Mary and Martha were worried because their brother was so sick. They knew that it was serious, and so they sent a message to Jesus, who was several miles away at the Jordan River. And it said, "You better get here quickly because Lazarus is very sick." And Jesus did not immediately respond to their urgent appeal, waited a couple of days at the Jordan River before he began his 2-day journey to Bethany. In the meantime, his friend Lazarus had died. They'd already had the funeral service and he had been buried. The sisters were with their friends who had gathered to comfort them, and they were sitting there in the house just weeping over the loss of this wonderful brother. When word came, there's a group coming up the road from Jericho. It looks like Jesus and his disciples. And Martha left the house and her sister and the other mourners, and she went running down the road towards Jericho until she came to Jesus. And when she met him, the disappointment, the hurt of her heart poured out in these words, "Lord, if you would only have been here, my brother would not have died." She was blaming Jesus for the death of her brother. "Lord, why did you let him die? Why didn't you come? Where were you when we needed you? Why didn't you respond, Lord? You could have averted this. It's your fault. My brother's dead. Lord, if you'd only have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Well, your brother's going to live again." And she said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I know in the last day, the great resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you live and believe in me, you will never die." It's pretty radical, isn't it? You see, if you live and believe in Jesus Christ, you'll never take that step of death. You say, "Well, come on now. What about the graveyard over there? As you walk through the graveyard, you see all these crosses. You see on the tombs, resting in Jesus. One tombstone over there in Fairhaven Cemetery says, 'Jesus never fails.' That was my mother's theme. I grew up hearing that all my life. Whenever I was sick or my sister or brothers were sick, she would rock us in that old rocking chair. It had a squeak in it. In the middle of the night, my brother who had asthma would be wheezing, and I'd hear that old rocking chair squeak, and she'd be singing, 'Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus never fails.' So we thought it was the only appropriate thing to put on her tombstone. The theme of her life, 'Jesus never fails.'" You say, "But she died?" No. She moved. You see, the Bible teaches that the real me is spirit. The body isn't the real me. The body is only a tent in which I live. And tents are subject to deterioration, to wearing out. And sometimes it becomes quite visible. This tent of mine is deteriorating. My little granddaughter loves to push my head down and count my chins. And I always throw my head back before she gets to 3. I have to worry about getting sunburn on the top of my head. I have to look for my glasses in the morning. I'm thankful I don't have to look for my teeth yet, but give me time. Just a tent in which I am living for a while. But one day I'm going to move out of this tent, and I'm going to move into a mansion. For Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare one for you. And if I go and prepare one for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And this mansion that he's gone to prepare is called by Paul a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so Paul said, we know that when this old tent dissolves, when it goes back to dust, that we'll have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So then we who are living in these tents often groan, desiring to move out of them. Not that we would be unembodied spirits, but we desire to move into that new body which is from heaven. For we know that as long as we are living in these bodies, we are absent from the Lord, but we would choose rather to be absent from these bodies and to be present with the Lord. And so one of these days, I'm not going to die. According to the word of Jesus, if I live and believe in him, I'll never die, but I will move. I'll move out of the tent into the house, that building of God. And so there's one step between me and eternity. I don't know how that step will be taken. I don't know if it will be by accident. I don't know if it will be by disease or just by plain old age and worn out. But I know that one day, should the Lord tarry, I'm going to take the step. It's not something that I fear. The opposite. It is something that, in a way, I rather look forward to. For now I see through the glass darkly, but then I will see face to face. Now I only know in part, but then I will know even as I have been known. For you see, even though I have not yet seen him, I love him. And I rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory in the anticipation of that day when I shall stand beside my Lord in that new body, in his eternal kingdom, world without end. For David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Bible teaches that this tent in which I presently live was made out of the earth and for the earth. Paul says of the earth, earthy. He teaches that the new body that I have, the house, will be made for the heavenly environment, whatever that may be. So this corruption, he said, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. I'm going to take the step one day. There's only a step between me and eternity. One day I'm going to take that step. And I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord, where I shall dwell forever. Now, even as David said, there is only a step between me and death. True of all of us in the physical, natural sense, in the worldly sense, what people call death, yes, there's just one step between us and death. However, there is also only one step between you and life. And that step is when you take your step towards Jesus. There's just one little step between you and eternal life. And that is the surrendering of yourself to him. Within your heart saying, oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wash me, cleanse me from my sin. Make me the person you want me to be. I want to live with you in fellowship with you. I want you to take over my life. And the moment you take that step, you receive eternal life. For this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. There's just one little step. You're so close to eternal life. Just a step away to the forgiveness of sins, to peace with God, to fellowship with God. One step. Paul the Apostle said, don't think that God is way off somewhere in the universe so that we have to send someone up to bring salvation down to us. Nor is salvation buried as some treasure in the deep that we have to dig it up and bring it along. But salvation, he said, is very close to every one of you. It's as close as your mouth. For if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just one little step. And eternal life is yours. And it is a wise person who will realize there's only a step between me and death, who will take the step between him and life and will open up his heart and receive Jesus Christ. I pray you'll take that step today and you'll never take the other step. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that hope of eternal life through him. So that as we live and believe in him, we will never be separated from you. Help, Lord, each one to make that step today. In Jesus' name, amen. The world defines death as the separation of your consciousness from your body. The moment the EEG goes flat and stays flat, they say he's dead. They pull the plug. The Bible defines death as the separation of your consciousness from God. When Jesus said, if you live and believe in me, you'll never die, he is saying, you will never be consciously separated from God. You'll live in fellowship with him, conscious fellowship with God forever. That's the promise of God, and that's the hope that we have as children of God today. It can be your hope also, if you'll take that step toward Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Make your step towards him. You'll find that he's already made his way towards you, and he's waiting. God bless you. May you have a beautiful week as you walk in fellowship with God. And may the love of God just fill your heart and your life. And as you walk in his love, may you spread that love around, sharing with others the hope that is ours through Jesus.